Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. Do you want to diet and exercise more naturally and have fun doing it? Do you want a diet and exercise program that's more accessible for the blind? Couch to Active gives you that dream program. Couch to Active CEO and senior trainer Lynn Lindberg is here to tell us more. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, Brian. So great to be here today.
Glad you're here. So you founded Couch to Active. What inspired you to start Couch to Active?
You know, at the very beginnings was my own frustration at myself of just how I knew I needed to exercise. I needed to do the things. It wasn't a matter of not knowing, but it was just like I wanted to be a part of my life that I actually liked. And that was the very beginning of it. And then the beginning of working to where most of our clients are blind and visually impaired, that happened in COVID. I was a guest on Alan Meisner's 40 Plus Fitness podcast, and I had two people reach out to me and said, "Hey, I'd like to work with you. By the way, I'm blind." And that's where it all started. And so years later, here we are.
And here you are. You got Couch to Active. You also suffered some chronic health issues through all this. How did that happen?
Yeah, when I got life, I tell you.
Yes,
life. I was at a place in my life where I was in what I would consider, for me, the best shape of my life. I had started Couch to Active. I had written the book Couch to Active. I had the podcast Couch to Active. I had Couch to Active clients. I could, you know, jog a half a marathon. I could bike 100 miles in a day. And my health fell apart. My health totally fell apart. And I got diagnosed with 3 different chronic health issues. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh my gosh, like how this like is triply hard now. And so those chronic health issues, I am now at a place where, I can walk miles in a day. I'm not really jogging yet. I teach about 6 fitness classes every week, and, I'm just in such a much, much better place. But it took a team of doctors and, a really long journey that I talk about a lot on my podcast.
Yeah, a big journey indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So you were sleep deprived, you were overworked, and you were battling these chronic health issues. How are you doing today?
I'm way better, way, way better. And I think part of it is I did just some real work to try to get my life in a place where I was less stressed out all the time. Cause I was one of those.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like so many of us, like I can do it all. I can do it all. I don't need any help, you know? And so that was a big piece of it. And then, you know, getting to where I could make sleep a priority. All of that really helped. And so now today, better than ever. And one thing that's interesting about this too, well, I find interesting, is when I got sick, I also gained almost 60 pounds, 6-0. And so if somebody's listening and they've been there, I get it. That concept of, when I gained the weight, I had more grit and self-discipline around my food than ever. And now I am down 40, and I'm actually I actually have more muscle mass on me than I've had my whole life. And so I may lose more, I may not, but I'm, you know, fit, healthy, and not really looking to get skinny again, because I want to be, you know.
But you didn't
healthy.
You didn't pursue the hard fitness mantra though, looking for 6-pack abs. You just let the diet and exercise come to you naturally.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a personal trainer, so I've got that advantage. And an aging fitness specialist and a weight management specialist. So I really just took that once I worked with my team of doctors to heal I had a collagenous colitis, an asthma that was misdiagnosed, fibromyalgia. Once I got all that under control, then I was able to take and layer on the exercise. And I knew I could not do the shred it six pack ab at all expense because my health was too fragile. I had to be respectful of what was going on in my life because otherwise I knew I'd be right back in that tar pit and I didn't want to go back there again. So, yeah, so that's what I've done. And that's actually what has, when I started teaching these fitness classes online with Zoom, part of it was because I was rehabbing my health. And so I knew what it felt like to wake up in the morning and have everything hurt for hours. Mm. And I knew what it felt like to try to do a fitness class and just have the instructor say, "It's okay, just do what you can do." And it's like, yeah. It's like, no, no. And so I knew like that concept of if somebody's in my class and they are same thing or just getting back into it or struggling with health issues, you're working as hard as an athlete because an athlete works as hard as an athlete can work. And if you have chronic illness or just getting back into it, you're also working as hard as you can work. You're working as hard as an athlete, perception-wise.
Yeah.
The only difference is when a real fit athlete works out, after the workout, they feel great. Waha! Look at me. I feel awesome. If you have chronic illness and you do your best to work out, you usually don't necessarily feel awesome afterwards.
You don't feel the greatest.
You don't. Mm-mm. No. So, yeah, lots of empathy there.
But you've made diet and exercise so fun and easy. That's Couch to Active's mission. How does Couch to Active make exercise 100% accessible for us blind and visually impaired folk out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. So when I first started teaching these classes to friends who were blind and visually impaired, I did not know that accessible fitness at this scale, because we have 15 classes every single week, 15, 1, 5, at this scale, I had no idea that this didn't exist. And so once we figured out that, like, oh, whoa, how in the world? There are way too many of us. There are way too many of us in the globe. How is there, you know, not a single company that has 15 classes every single week and personal training and descriptions so that it's accessible to blind and low vision? We just made a commitment that that's just who we're going to be and that's what we're going to do. And so, yeah, so we have the 5 instructors and every instructor we have is certified in what they do. And they have to audition. They got to pass the test of the students. And those are popular classes if we have an audition. And then the students tell me if this person can teach in a way that's accessible or not. So, yeah.
And the exercise classes, they're for people with all different health conditions, the diabetes included, and even for those who are totally, total master couch potatoes and love watching the tube. What classes do you offer?
Yeah, we have a whole variety of classes here. Some of them start the most gentle ones. I call my mobility and stability classes. And so those are the ones that are so, so gentle that a fitness enthusiast might even say, oh, that's not exercise, but it really is. Yeah, I know. See, yeah, I know. I got to say those words out loud so people will be like, oh, she gets it. She gets it. And then we've got strength classes that use hand weights or body weights. We have 2 levels of yoga, gentle yoga, which is what it is, and then adaptive vinyasa yoga, which yoga, oh, man. Teaching that one, like pure play yoga, when most yoga instructors don't use words and the words they do use aren't even English. Like, we've dialed that one in. And then we have a fun class called Move and Groove, which is more of a dance class. So all kind. Oh, and we have a fun one that is, it's called cardio equipment. So if you have a treadmill, a bike, elliptical, anything like that, you get on that and then we talk you through a workout, on your piece of equipment.
Could the state of the art Pelotons also work with this?
Yes, they sure could.
So you've also got a podcast on diet, exercise, and health. What sort of diet, exercise, and health topics do you talk about?
Yeah, so we talk I bring in guests, so, and we talk about how to eat in a way that supports our health, and also if you are interested in weight loss, we talk about how to do that in a healthy way that also makes you stronger and build strength. And it's all, everything we do is based on what research we have out there today. And so I'm never promoting any fad diet. We'll talk about fad diets. We'll say, hey, here's the new one that came out, the grapefruit diet. I mean, that's an old one, but you know, and here's, and the reason these are compelling is because there's an element of truth in all of them, but let's take a look, you know, so we do that. And then things just to kind of motivate us, around exercise. And actually just last week on the Couch to Active podcast, I interviewed a gentleman who was almost 700 pounds, bedbound for a year. Yeah, bedbound for 364 days. He did not want to make it a year. Had to get help via a crew of six paramedics to get out of his home.
Gosh.
And he's been on this incredible journey, 200 pounds down and still working it. And such an amazing, William Pickernell's his name. Amazing. Just interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. We launched that one. So I try to bring in stories like that because, their journeys are real and their message is, just so practical. And then I talk about my journey. You know, I lost almost 40 pounds this last year.
Did he have to go through weight loss surgery?
That was part of his story. He was all primed to do it. And then COVID hit.
Mm.
Yeah. So he, you got to go listen to what happened there with, it was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Incredible story he has. And practical tips that were just so, so real. I just really enjoyed talking to him.
I will have to check this out.
And I watched him for a couple of years, and he in this last year went from wheelchair to walker to now he almost never needs his walker anymore. And he's pretty much on his own 2 feet now, which is,
does he have a walking stick?
No, when he walks, he's, I've not seen him use a cane.
Really mobile. Wow.
Yeah.
Did he ever, change careers or get into any new sort of, passions after all this?
That's actually what he has been doing. How I got to know him is he got discovered on social media. So he's got, you know, like 20 million likes on his videos. And so he's just really prolific and really good at putting out, content, telling his story day by day of what he's doing. So, he's really inspirational.
I think we're going to put your Couch to Active site up so for the listeners, so that they can not only check out this podcast, but also check out everything Couch to Active. And
awesome.
That's going to be listed on the Speaking Out for the Blind webpage, speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com. What is that website, by the way?
It's Couch to Active, www.couchtoactive.com. And I'm Lynn Lindberg, and the podcast is on every podcast player out there. In fact, you can even... ask, see if I can talk in code here. You can ask the A lady. I don't want to say it to make it go off in people's homes, but you can ask the A lady to play the Couch Jacked podcast and she'll come on playing the Couch Jacked podcast with Lynn Lindbergh. Yeah.
And I already know who she is.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that podcast is also on the website too.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're going to put that up for listeners. Great. So they'll check it out. What general diet and exercise tips do you offer our listeners, even myself, you know, being visually impaired in general,
mm-hmm.
that can just make all of our health journeys just more fun and rewarding and not feel like it's such a grind?
You know, I could talk to you for days, but we'll do one thing. I know. What's one thing? Like if listeners said, here's the one thing I'm going to do, I would say get radically creative about how you can do. We'll just talk exercise and you can translate it to food if you want. But thinking of exercise, get radically creative on how you can move your body or exercise in a way that you'll actually like your life more. The reason this is so important is because we've been so brainwashed over decades to think, you know, exercise must be in a gym and you must be sweaty and wearing spandex and going, hurga, you know, and you must do it for 20 minutes or it doesn't count. Like this is just brainwashing. Yeah. For most of us, in fact, I just operate and assume that everybody who's working with me, the whole reason they're exercising is because they want more freedom in their body and they want their body to be able to do more living the life they want to do. And so if the whole reason you're doing this exercise thing is because you want to love your life more, but you're doing exercise you hate, it kind of goes against one and it'll never stick. It'll never go. And so we have folks who come and they're like, hey, I love the community of the live fitness classes. This is awesome. The accountability, the friends. I love it. I love my life more. We have other people who are like, nope, I just want to do the videos and I like doing it on my own. I like doing it on my own time. We have other folks who say, hey, Lynn, I want to work with you one-on-one for a while, and then I want to go do it on my own. And whatever it is that helps you love your life more at the end of this or when you're into it, that's what it's got to be about. It can't be about your PE teacher's voice in your head from childhood telling you to, I know, we all got that, don't we?
I've still got my AP teacher's voice from my childhood telling me some of these classic diet and exercise tips, the same rules.
You know,
in my head all the time.
Oh my gosh. And my PE teacher who used to literally eat donuts while she taught class. I was like, what? I mean, yeah, we've all got that. We got to let that go. It's all got to be, how does this help me love my life more? And that's when it gets exciting. That's when the magic happens. Cause then it's like, oh, I actually like my life now more than I did. And that's when it sticks.
Now, how about the diet? I know there was one nutritionist, dietitian on one of these old exercise videos who said, diet. I hate that word. diet tips do you offer?
What diet tips do I have? Yeah. The word diet's hard because it's one of those words that can mean more than one thing, right?
Right.
And there's, exactly. And it has the word die in it, diet, like, geez, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a terrible word. But at the same time, one of the things I do a lot of is trying to take, the popular narrative, cultural narrative around some of these things and just flip the script on it. And so there's a lot of people who say diet bad, and other people who say diet good, and I'm like, Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, so what the script I try to flip on for folks is to say, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You are a factor of one. And what works for you may not work for other people because you have access to different foods than, you know, in different regions of the country. You have different social pressures around you. You have different income levels to provide or not provide. I mean, every, you know, cooking skills, like all kinds of things. It's so different for everybody. We got to figure out what works best for us. If I could only pick one diet thing to start with, and I'll just say the word diet and not really care about whether the word is, I'm not going to moralize the word diet. is if I could pick one besides the obvious, you know, work on getting sugar out of your diet, processed sugars, besides that obvious one, and then work on, you know, eating more whole foods, you know, those two, like we know. I would say work on having a protein rich breakfast. Yep. Right. And yep. And that is magic for so many people because it gives the body what it needs and it sets up the metabolism or the way the body's fueling itself with its insulin and hormones and all kinds of different, you know, a whole host of things happening in the body chemically, biologically. Having a protein dominant breakfast sets that off so you have less cravings throughout the day, less hangry, less snacky, less must eat now and it must be something, you know. Yeah.
I noticed that this morning when I just had a bowl of Cheerios.
Oh,
and then I had apple.
Yep.
That came from the store, Safeway.
Yep.
And I also had some whole wheat or wheat toast with regular butter on it.
Yep.
And then just a glass of water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from with this, the high protein. Now, of course, you mentioned the sugars. Now I feel like I'm talking to a dietitian here. the sugars. Now, are you saying to completely cut out sugar and never eat it again? Or does that mean it's okay to eat, like, on certain days, like a Saturday, or on, like, a holiday, like, it's okay to go to Dairy Queen and have your Sunday?
I think, I am not a nutritionist.
Right.
I'm not a nutritionist, but I'll tell you, in the journey that I did of getting stronger and losing, I'm down almost 40 pounds now, I ate treats every single week. Totally. I mean, I had a couple times when I had two donuts in a day. Don't tell anybody though, okay? it's the overall, if someone's brand new to the journey of getting sugar out of their diet, and I'm not talking fruit, I'm not talking whole fruit, I'm talking, things with added sugar in them.
Yes.
When we begin that journey, we'll find that added sugar is in almost everything.
Yeah,
it's just crazy, you know, and especially the sodas. Yep.
I save the soda only for the movie theater when I go once a week. I don't drink soda any other time, save the hot chocolate to like a Sunday. I just cut things down. That's what I do.
Yeah. And there's the magic thing about the sugar and getting it out is there comes a point when when you hear like what I would call a health nut say, oh, look, I don't even crave sugar anymore. And people who like normal people are like, what do you mean you don't crave sugar? Like you're lying. You know, this cannot be real. This thing you're talking of. It really is real. If someone is able to get their sugar way down to where they're eating mostly whole foods, and have their, you know, they're getting the protein they need, then those cravings really do kind of go away. And I got to tell you, Brian, around the holidays, I made a conscious decision. I'm like, I'm going to eat the things. I'm not going to gorge on the things, but I'm going to eat the things. And so I had the, you know, like several days of the things, and then at the end of several days, my sugar cravings were back, not with a vengeance, but they were back. And so actually one of my podcasts coming up pretty soon here is going to talk about what do you do with that reset, you know, and how do you get back to, when that happens, because it's real. You know, we're humans. We're not robots.
All right. We're getting close to the end here. So yeah. You've also written a Couch to Active book, and I'm sure people can buy and check that out on your website as well. So, Lynn, let's hope our listeners try Couch to Active and just have some fun with working out and staying healthy in this new year. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
You're very welcome, Lynn. Mm-hmm. Before we go, listeners, I welcome your comments on this program. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. You can also check out my website, that's speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com. More information on today's show is posted there. Just look under the list of episodes and show news tab. And my show archive is at speaking-out-for-blind.pinecast.co. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening. And remember to speak out.